The commencement of an occasional new feature in this month's Organ First Radio. Stay tuned to find out what it is. In the second half of the show, I'll be talking to a long-time family friend and organist who was down here in Cornwall recently. But the new feature stems from a comment that John Mann made in last month's programme, when he indicated how he missed organ broadcasts from the days when the BBC Light programme made them a regular feature every morning at 10 a.m. and often throughout the day too. That gave me the idea to resurrect some of them from time to time, and into the frame stepped the Theatre Organ Club Supremo Wayne Ivany, who'll be providing them from his vast collection. Ironically, I also had a request from a listener who wanted me to include some more music by organist Douglas Reeve. And so, sit back then, because here's 30 minutes worth.
Troubles introduces Douglas Reeve with the organ of the Dome Brighton, and he's going to play in the first half of his programme The March, High Flight by Eric Coates, a waltz by Wolfteufel called Très Jolie, and a medley of the tunes of yesterday, Leaning on a Lamppost, Horsey Horsey, By the Light of the Silvery Moon, Can't Help Singing, Limehouse Blues, and Shine.
Thank you.
Now, for the second part of his programme, Douglas Reeve is going to play Wedding of the Rose by Leon Dressel, Eric Jupp's Tango on the March, then Three Tunes of Today, Lips of Wine, Colours and All at Once, and finally, Ragtime Memories by David Carroll. was played by Douglas Reeve at the organ of the Dome of Brighton.
Douglas Reeve at the Dome Brighton Organ, and a broadcast that dates back to 1957. And in future programmes, I'll be once again asking Wayne Iveney to pick out similar historic recordings for us to relive those days when organ broadcasts were the staple diet of BBC Radio. Back in the 80s, I was connected with the Pontins Electronic Organ Festivals at Morecambe, Southport, Hemsby and even Spain. In those days, there were many young boys and girls who enjoyed playing the electronic organ, and some even had more far-reaching aspirations and went on to make a living from them. Others played and performed purely for the fun that they got out of doing so. And one such person was Angela Turner, who lived with her parents, Morris and Jennifer, in the backwoods of Wigton in Cumbria, where they ran the Bird in Hand pub. Angela was a popular attraction at many of the festivals, but combined her hobby with that of being a travel agent and then later as a teaching assistant at a local school. That was until the day that she had a heart attack, and for a long time both teaching and playing took a nosedive. However, she had married organ enthusiast David Johnson, who was connected with one of the burgeoning organ clubs in the area at that time. And on holiday recently, I was able to have this little chat with her. Angie, let's go back to the days of the Morecambe Organ Festivals. What do you actually remember about them in particular?
Well, I was only a kid back then. Lots of fun, lots of fun. Lots of friendships was made back then. Yeah. A lot of organists as well that I'm still friends with now today that I still meet up with, which is really nice. And a lot of, you know, old-timers, as you would say, that we do miss really, the likes of Brian Sharp and Brian Rodwell. Yeah. You know, I learnt a lot of Brian Rodwell.
Yes.
Years back, because obviously I was still learning. Well, he's still learning today, but, you know.
We're going to now move back to the T500 and try and put that one through its paces a little bit. You know, it's surprising. People say to me, what's your favourite tune? And it's rather difficult because I like so many. So what I thought we might do is have a little bit of fun. And in actual fact, put them all together in this rather odd arrangement of T for Two. Thank you.
For two, and where in this day do you ever hear such artistry as that? Brian Rodwell at the Hammond T500.
What comes back to my mind is how many people used to turn up.
Oh, there was over thousands, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to Morecambe, when you think of that theatre, it was solid packed.
Yeah.
And there were fantastic atmospheres.
And the other thing I always remember is that there were so many youngsters of your age who were coming along and were darn good organists. Mm. And there was that many that you had to have a competition in order to wheedle out those who were good enough to actually go and play in the evenings.
Yeah, no, and the little lift that you brought us up on, because as I say, I was just in my teens then, and I was sort of 16, 17. And, you know, it was terrifying for us then. Because obviously that was the first chance we'd had playing in front of that amount of people.
Right.
Yeah, and but it did us, put us in good stead.
Yeah. Mind you, to be fair, playing in front of people, you had a bit of a start. Because
I did have a head start, because I have to admit.
Your mum and dad had the Bird in Hand pub at Wigton, didn't they?
They did, We had 8 good years in there, so I had 8 really good years of playing. And I played every Friday, Saturday, Sunday night.
Thank you.
little tune called The Clock Is Playing, and that was actually from a cassette that Angela made in the pub playing her Yamaha HX5. Why do you think there isn't as many youngsters coming up into the organ world now?
We haven't got the organs the same. You know, one thing I really looked forward to, because it was a competition between Dad and me. One year I would get a new organ, then Dad would get his car, and the year after I would get another new organ if it'd come on. You know, we used to take turns, and Dad and Mum were fantastic, because obviously the birthday and Christmas became combined. Right. And in between, while Dad was getting his car, I would get a keyboard to be set on top of the organ to give us a bit more to keep us going. Right. To the following year. Yeah. So that... but you see, there's just keyboards now.
Yeah.
There's not really the organs, new organs. And you look forward to what they're bringing out new in the sounds and how you can mix them. And yes, you've got it in the keyboards, but you're very restricted. You can't do the same with the keyboards as you do with the organ.
No,
no. Which I've had to learn now as well, because obviously I can't see to do my organ now.
So. For those that don't know, sadly you're now registered as a blind person,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, 4.5 years ago I had my double stroke, which meant it, the first time it took me arm and leg, and I couldn't sit for a long time and play the organ, which from when I've played since I was 4 years old, came as a big shock. Yeah, it did. But unfortunately, I had a secondary, so that took the sight. But I've got a tiny little scrap in the left eye, and that's like looking through a keyhole. So now I've got a big magnifier, and I have to be like scanner. And I actually scan the music with Marie, and then I can sit and play, but I can't see all the registrations the same now. At home now, mostly play my piano, which is the Clavinova latest one, and that's got the electronics in and a big screen, so with my magnifier I can actually sit now and play that and kind of get my sounds that I used to get on my organ.
Yeah.
So, but I still play the church organ, things like that. I can still sit down and play them, it's just I can't see where the knobs are.
Right.
Or the stops, I should say.
Thank you.
My guest today, Angela Turner, at her Clavinova, proving that two strokes and blindness are no barrier to her. What's more, she's now learning to play the ukulele, but we'll save you the George Formby impressions for another time. The thing that I think put a lot of the youngsters off from carrying on was probably two things. One was making a living from it at the end, you know, if they got they got to make a living and maybe, you know, get a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever. That was the one thing. And I think then along came computers, and that, to my mind, that was the death knell of...
Yeah, because they get the head... Well, it's like the phones nowadays. You see everybody walking around with a phone in their hand just looking down. They don't talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, it's a similar sort of thing, really. You don't get that communication the same.
That's right, that's right.
So,
but going back to those days, and you mentioned some of the big stars there, Brian Rodwell, bless him. The governor, as they used to call him. Who are the organists that you like to listen to now when you're at home?
Well, the one who really got me interested in organists was Klaus Underlich. And it still is my favourite one now. But, I'm going to conservatory and just put the music on, and it just relaxes us. And it's his style of playing. And even now, I still love it.
Sort of equate Klaus with that of Reginald Dixon in as much
Well, there's another one, because I was in my toddler's age of about 3 or 4, we went to the tower and I was mesmerised. And he has to play a part as well, because obviously I started playing when I was 4 on a little Bontempi,
right,
and then moved up to the Hammond after that.
Literally, he was to the Wurlitzer organ what Klaus was to the electronics, basically.
I think because I was younger, I liked the electronic sound. I still loved Reginald Dixon.
Yeah,
we went in regular to hear him.
Yeah.
Hello, this is Reginald Dixon saying good morning to you once again from the Tower Ballroom, Blackpool, where for the next half hour I'm going to play you a programme of light music. We're starting today with the march, La Rave Pass, which no doubt will be better known to you as the Soldier's Dream.
Come down with David, your husband. Now, David is one. You keep in organ music in the family because you married an organist,
yes.
Basically, didn't you?
Yeah. Yes, he was secretary of our organ society, so I've known him a lot of years.
Yeah. Which, unfortunately, is one of the organ societies that's...
I know, no longer with us.
Again, yeah. Is it because there's nobody coming to keep
to run them and not getting the people there? That's the other thing. There's not enough people coming to support it, which I think is a big problem over the country.
Well, listen, whenever you're down here, it's lovely to see you. Do come in and see us again. We'll have a chat about the old times. But yeah. I'll put some music on now, some of the people that you've mentioned in the interview.
Lovely. Thank you.
All right?
Yeah.
And my thanks again to Angela Turner for sharing memories and her playing with us. And who better to take us out of the show this month than the artist herself. Here she is with the lovely arrangement of Moon River. From yours truly, Alan Ashton. Till the next time, bye for now.
You've been listening to Organ First Radio, a Penelador production presented by Alan Ashton, with technical direction by Ian King.